morning adult discussion Sunday school group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. Whether you're here in person or here in spirit or here on the iPad, the phone, or whatever you're on, you are welcome, welcome, welcome.
Amen.
Okay, so it's my opinion that we read through 46, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 46. And I'm going to start by asking Buddy to pray for us this morning.
Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Mm-hmm. This is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for all our brothers and sisters here this morning. We just give you the praise of the Lord. We ask that you fill our hearts with love. And let us go deep into your word, Father, and understand it better. And just have your way today in both services, Father.
Mm-hmm.
And just let your spirit be here with us. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Whose turn is it to read today, Buddy?
Yes,
Brenda?
It's
Buddy?
It's
okay. In the classic Amplified Bible, we're going to read from verse 46 through the end of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Okay. You said 46?
I think we went to 46.
I believe that's what we stopped at,
46.
Because we're talking about spiritual and the natural.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we started at 46?
Let's start then at 47.
47?
I don't know. Let's go ahead and start at 46 because there's a lot in there.
It all goes together.
Yeah.
Right there.
But it is not the spiritual life which came first, but the physical and then the spiritual. The first man was out of the earth, made of dust, earthly minded. The second man is the Lord from out of heaven. Now those who are made of the dust are like him who was first made of dust, earthly minded, and is the man from heaven. So also are those who are of heavenly and heavenly minded. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we, and so let us also bear the image of the man of heaven. And I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot become partakers of the eternal salvation or an inherit or share in the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable which is decaying inherit or share in the imperishable, the immortal. Take notice, I tell you, a mystery, a secret, mm-hmm. A secret truth, an event decreed by the hidden purpose or counsel of God. We shall not all fall asleep in death, but we shall be changed, transformed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump call, where a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, free and immune from decay, and we shall be changed, transformed. For this perishable part of us must put on the imperishable nature, and this mortal must this nature that is capable of dying must put on the immortality of freedom from death. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and this that was capable of dying puts on freedom from death, then shall be fulfilled the scripture that says, death is swallowed up, utterly vanquished forever in and unto victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continuously aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, is never wasted, or to no purpose. In to the 15th.
Praise the Lord.
That's the end?
Yeah, end of 15th.
Oh, okay. The Lord gave me something really kind of cool. But I'm going to wait and see how the conversation goes. There's two or three really neat and important things, I think, that are in this group of verses. So, does anybody want to start us off with some conversation? About anything busting to get out? Here you go, Brenda.
Where it talks about raising up and coming, or where is it at? Let's see which verse it is. Where it goes on down and twinkling an eye and that, mm-hmm. and when the first trumpet shall sound, mm-hmm. the dead in Christ shall be raised imperishable, free and immune from decay, and we shall be changed, transformed. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Which verse is that?
52.
52.
Mm-hmm.
In a moment.
Okay.
Here it is in the King James. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Okay, that's what it says, transform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you want me to speak on it, or you go ahead, Kathy, if you want to. I mean, I can speak on it if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 52. I'll read it out.
You're the one that taught me.
I'll read it out of the King James. Well, let's go with 51 first. Behold, I show you a mystery.
It is a mystery.
Okay. Now, we know that the mystery that's been hidden from past ages and past generations is simply this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. We know that out of Colossians. Okay. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Mm-hmm. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now let's go back and look at some of that. When it says, I told you about what it says about mystery, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the true mystery. There is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. In a moment. That word for moment there, in the Greek, it's only in there one time. There's other words for moment, but that word is only in there one time.
In the entire Bible.
In the Greek.
All right.
And it's the word atomos. And it's where you get the word atomic or atom, mm-hmm. A-T-O-M, you know, like atomic atom. Mm-hmm. And if you look up the definition of the word atom, an atom, mm-hmm. you'll find that it's something that's unchangeable. And if you realize what they did with the atomic bomb, they set something loose that wasn't supposed to be loose. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so really what it's really, it means unchangeable. It can't be changed.
Uncut, it says.
Unchanged. You can't change it. And that only appears in the Bible one time. There's other words for moment, mm-hmm. other places, but it's a different word. It's not. That's the only word that's only in there one time. Now, what I believe that means there is this. When we come to the place, we're being changed from glory to glory,
yes.
into the very image of Jesus Christ. And when we come to the place where we no longer can be changed, and the only way that's going to happen is when we see him as he is, we shall be what?
Yes.
Just like him.
Yes.
Okay. So when it's talking here about a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Now, what's a twinkling of an eye? What makes your eye twinkle?
A blink.
Huh?
It blinks.
Light.
Yeah.
Light reflecting off of your eye.
Oh.
That makes your eye twinkle. I mean, that's, you know, it's really funny the way scriptures are, because they're so simple that most people look right past it.
Exactly.
You know, and the only reason I understand some of these things is because years ago, one time, I was in praying, and I asked, and I was praying, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "Son, I'm going to show you something that you've never seen before." And I said, "Okay, what is it, Lord?" And he didn't answer me. I mean, you know, so I come out, and I was out in the house, and I went back in, later on, I went back in and prayed again. And he didn't answer me again. And I went back in and prayed a third time. And the third time, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he says, "The simplicity that's in Christ." Amen. That's what I'm going to show you. And from that day, the gospel has gotten simpler and simpler and simpler.
Amen.
You know, first of all, the things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit. So a lot of times when we look at some of these things that it's saying here, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. We shall," and I'm not sure, but I think that word is the word metamorpho there, probably, which it means becomes a two-dimensional creature. But I could look it up because I've got a Strong's in this thing here. But I think that's probably
a lasso.
Huh?
It's a lasso.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
What is what?
And it means.
Tell us what it means.
To change.
Okay.
To exchange one thing for another, to transform.
Okay.
Well, transform. I mean,
there you go. See, so it goes back to transforming. Okay. And it says in a moment. So, and I believe what it's saying there is when we come to a place where we can no longer be changed, because they didn't always translate everything.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to translate word for word on everything. And, you know, the translators did. And you can't always do that. Greek and Hebrew are very, very vast word, you know, meanings to words, you know. So you almost got to study into some of that stuff and find out what it actually, the full meaning of the thing was. So anyway, when you realize that it's saying in a tamos, you know, a moment, basically the same as an atom, in the twinkling of an eye, so when light is being reflected from your eye, it says, at the last trump, and it says, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Well, when we see him as he is, and even that twinkling of an eye, you know, I think I said something a couple weeks ago about there's a portion of scripture in the Old Testament that's where he called Israel the apple of his eye. You know, and if you look at that scripture and go back into the actual meaning of the words, it's little man of the eye. That's what the apple of your eye is, the little man of your little man of the eye. And how do you see the little man? How do you get to see the little man of the eye? My sister years ago, I've told this before in a sermon, but my sister years ago, my nephew was real little, and he was sleeping with her, you know, laying in the bed with her. And she said she woke up, and he had his forehead against her forehead, and his nose against her nose. And she said, "When I opened my eyes, it kind of startled me because he was right in my face, you know." And the Lord brought that back to my memory when I seen that thing about the little man of the eye. And I began to realize that what was happening when he did that, when he looked into her eyes, he could see himself. And when we look into the eyes of the Lord, we have to begin to see ourself. The scripture says that in him we live and move and have our being. And also it says Christ in you. Well, those two go together. The original revelation is that Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have to start believing that in him, he not only is in us, but that we're in him. That's the full circle of that. When we really believe that truly and function in that, then we go full circle in that, see? And, you know, like I say, I believe it's talking about here, when we get to the place where we can no longer be changed, in other words, we're being changed from glory to glory into the very image. You know, we look in a glass darkly, But we're going to see him face to face. And, you know, I believe that's the deeper translation of this, you know. And when it talks about at the last trump, and a trump being a message, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you blow the trumpet, there's a message there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, well,
is shown as that shown.
And the dead shall be raised incorruptible and changed. Please?
Is that shown a message and the word coming forth?
Yes, because it's a message and it's the word coming forth. Because in the Old Testament, when Solomon built the temple, he had 120 trumpeters. And what they were probably, I don't know if they were blowing actual trumpets or if they were blowing the shofar. You know, I'm not sure which it was. But anyway, they blew the trumpet and the presence of the Lord came down on that temple, you know, when it was completed. On the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, how many people were in the upper room?
120.
They got, and it's funny because when you think about it, it says, and they all were in one accord. And musically, when those musicians out there are playing, most of the time they're playing chords, you know. And if they're not playing the chords that fit together, it's going to sound pretty chaotic out there, you know, when they're playing music. And it's funny that they even use words that you can relate to in the natural, you know. And anyway, so when they got in one accord, and you get 120 people together, it's not that easy to get everybody in agreement and everybody in one mind and everybody in one position. We don't know how long they were in the upper room. They might have been up, they might have been there for a long time, you know. But when they got in one accord, then the Holy Spirit came into the room like a mighty rushing wind and cloven tongues of fire set upon their head. Well, what happened after that? That 120 went out and started blowing the trumpet.
Praise God.
Yes.
They went out and
spreading
the word of the Lord. And like what did Peter say? He said, these men are not drunk like you probably think they are. He said, but this is that which was spoken of in the prophets, you know. And literally, that's what it was. That was a fulfillment of what had taken place back in the Old Testament. The presence of the Lord was in his temple. Know you not that you're the temple of God?
Yes.
And they are the temple, you know. They were the temple. And that was him coming into the presence of his temple, which was noticeable, where people actually could notice it. And, you know, but scriptures all, man, they fit together like hand and glove. I mean, when God really reveals them to you, it's so exciting and so amazing, you know. But anyway, and that's what I would tell you, that's what that means there, you know. And what will happen is that last trumpet, there's going to come a time when, and I'll stop when I say this, because I don't want to keep going and going. But anyway, when John had his revelation of Jesus Christ in Revelations, and that's what it is. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the beast. It's not the revelation of everything else. You have to read what it says when it starts off. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
It's not John's revelation. Sometimes the people we say John's revelation.
The
revelation was by John. So
yeah. But what it is though is a lot of people want to take the book of Revelations and make it everything else. But it tells you in the beginning, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, John had the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? And when John described him, he began to describe him. His hair was white like wool's, eyes were like a flame of fire, and he begins to make all these descriptions. And he says, and his paps were girded about as gold, and when he spoke, it was as the voice of many waters.
Yeah.
Okay, what did he say was going to come out of your innermost being?
Rivers
of living water.
Water.
And when he met the woman at the well, what did he say to her? He said, this water that I'll give you will spring up into eternal life, you know. So you got to realize that what he's talking about here is, I feel like what John saw when he saw Jesus Christ there, because it wasn't necessarily what Jesus looked like that walked with him in Galilee.
No.
What he saw was the fullness of the body of Christ standing up as a mature man. The fullness of Christ, the fullness of Jesus Christ. And when he spoke, it was as the voice of many waters. If you go back into the book of Daniel, Daniel had a revelation of the Ancient of Days, which was basically God, you know, Jesus Christ. And he said, when he described him, and he made almost the same description as John did, except instead of his paps being girded about with gold, his loins were girded about with gold. Okay, gold talks about the divine nature, the incorruptible nature. So when you see gold in scripture and it's talking about gold, it's usually talking about, you know, incorruptible nature, the divine nature of God. Mm-hmm. When Daniel had, in that description of Daniel, it said, and when he spoke, his voice was as the voice of a great multitude. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that means that's a bunch of people all speaking the same thing. Great multitude. Because if we all speak the same thing, speak at the same time, the exact same thing, it's going to sound like a tremendous multitude speaking. And that's what he envisioned. But his loins were girded about with gold. And what God was showing back there is there's going to come a time when I'm going to recreate, you know, because that's what your loins are girded about with. Your loins is where your creation is from. You know, you create life with that. Mm-hmm. And he said there's going to be a multitude of creation going to be opened up. So it was the loins. Mm-hmm. Then when you get up into Revelations, it was the paps. Mm-hmm. It was the word paps in the King James. It was the word paps. And paps means female breasts. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus was weird or anything like that, but it meant he was the love nature of God. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to desire what? The sincere what?
Milk
of the word. Where do you get the milk? You get it from the breast. And even with John, when they talked about the upper room, he talked about the Last Supper, supposedly. You know, they call it the Last Supper. But anyway, when Jesus came together with them in the Last Supper, John had his head laid where? On Jesus' bosom, you know. So he was being fed the sincere milk of the word even there, you know, before he had the revelation, because he was hearing the heartbeat of God. That's what he was doing, see. So, I mean, when you really see how these things all fit together, they fit together so perfectly.
What is the arm that has to be on a breast plate? Like the arms of the Spirit, the arms of God. What is
put
that?
On the whole armor of God?
Whole armor, yeah.
What is it that's supposed to be on?
Well, it's the blessed, isn't it the breastplate of righteousness?
Righteousness, okay.
Yes.
And
but
where
it's
do,
not
where,
our righteousness.
Where do we get that righteousness?
Right,
yeah, there
right.
you go. We get
exactly.
it from him. Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Do you know what I love about rightly dividing the word? The encouragement.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, we've all, well not maybe all of us, but most of us have all grown up if we have had any religious background.
Mm-hmm.
We have been given a list of laws and a list of rules and a feeling of shamefulness and the shaking of the finger and that you're never going to amount to anything and you must do this and you may not and women can't cut their hair and you better not go to movies and you know, and that is all so insane when you realize who lives in us. It encourages me so much that, yes, of course, none of what we are reading here is anything I in myself am ever going to be capable of doing. Ah, but he who lives within me is teaching me, you know, that he is the gem, but I'm the bezel, you know.
Right.
We hold him. Like on a ring, the bezel holds the gem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we hold all that he is within us.
Yeah. He's the glory.
Yes.
But he chooses to let us experience that glory, you know.
You know, and there is therefore now no condemnation. When we have been living with all of this shame and condemnation and everything all of our life, it takes the, just like Oscar said, God taught him the simplicity of what this is really all about. Yes, it's over our heads. Oh my goodness. To comprehend, you know, all of this is, but we have that one inside of us who will bring us to all truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, one of the main things that we have to realize is that Scripture says that he hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and he reveals them unto babes. Now, what is the difference between someone that's wise and very prudent and a little baby? Or your little kid, let's say your little kid. What's the difference? Well, the difference is the little kid is inquisitive.
Open to learn.
He's open to anything that you tell him.
Yeah.
He looks up to you in all situations, in all circumstances. Have you ever had a kid drive you almost crazy by, they'll ask you a question and you give them an answer, and then what's their next reply?
Why?
And then you tell them something else, and then they'll say, why? Because they have that innate desire to want to know, you know what I mean? And that, like I say, it's the simplicity that's in Christ. He wants us to have that innate desire to want to know him in the fullness of who he is and who he is in us. And when we come to a place where as long as you stay hungry, he's going to keep revealing things to you. But a lot of people will say, well, you know, how come this church over here or this denomination over here or whatever it is don't tell these things? Sometimes it's because they think they already know everything. I'm telling you what, we don't know hardly anything. We know so little, it's unbelievable how little we know.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you ever notice when God had, when he came, well, like even when he came to John in the book of Revelations, and he said to him, you know, he will say something to him, and he'll say, don't you know this? You know, the angel will say that to him, don't you know this? And you know what John would say? No, I don't. He's honest. Don't act like you know everything, because you don't. None of us do. And when you're dealing with the Lord, the best way to get a revelation from God is to just tell him, Father, I don't know. You know, what would you show me? What would you teach me? And you know, I had some people ask me one time years ago. They were younger brothers in the church. They said, Oscar, how do you get the stuff you get? And I said, well, I said, first of all, when I'm reading Scripture, I ask questions. I ask who, what, why, where, and how. Okay? Who's it talking about? What's it talking about? Why is it talking about that? And how does this apply to me? You know? And I'm going to tell you, when you ask questions like that of God, you know, he'll give you the answers if you really want to know the answers. And what's going to have to happen is, and I hate to say this, and I'm not trying to down anybody that goes to all these seminaries and all this stuff. That's wonderful, but what that's good if that's you, where you feel like you want to do. But I'm going to tell you, the seminary that you need to go to is sit at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
And you need to ask the Lord, Lord, when you read a scripture, you need to say to the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? Don't forget that he might show you something on the level that you're on, but there's different levels in God. You know, and you know, there's three. I think there's three levels in God. I've heard people think there's a lot more than that. I think there's three, because three is a very significant number in the Lord. And you know, in the tabernacle in the wilderness. You're the temple of God, okay? In the tabernacle of wilderness, and you're, and even in the temple, there was an outer court. Anybody could go there. Mm-hmm. There was an inner court, which only the priests went in there. And they ministered to the Lord. They had the table of showbread. They had the candlestick, which was a type of the church. Then there was the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest went in there once a year with a blood sacrifice. Jesus was the high priest. When he went in there, the veil of the temple was torn in twain. And what did that mean? That now the Holy of Holies was open. Anybody could go in there. But to go in there, you have to be willing to only say that which the Father tells you to say, only do, you know, that kind of thing. You know what I mean. But there's only one sacrifice. That was Jesus Christ. There's not many more sacrifices, you know. And you know, just like the Holy of Holies. And what was Jesus? He was King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but he also, in Hebrews, it tells you that we have a high priest, which was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He intercedes for us. And king priest, the only king priest in the Bible is in Melchizedek in the Old Testament. And what did Melchizedek do? I mean, if you go back and read what he did, he was one that brought blessing. He blessed.
Yes.
Scripture tells you, bless and do what? Mm-hmm. Curse not. Mm-hmm. Don't curse people. Bless them. Be a blessing. What did you brought forth? Bread and wine. And bread is, Jesus, what did Jesus say he was? I'm the bread which came down from heaven. So what he's saying, if you're going to bring forth bread and wine, you have to partake of him and then dispense the bread of what he gives you. And the wine is a type of the blood. It's the life.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm sorry, Kev. I don't mean to talk so much. I mean, I'll continue on if you want me to. But
just let the Lord handle it.
Yeah, I
thought that maybe I'd like to.
But when you ask them questions, you know that disturbs things up. And
yeah.
I like when people ask questions because, you know what? If you don't ask them questions, you don't get no answers.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I was kind of thinking this morning about, you know, I know this is kind of going back, but in the beginning, God, and that's Elohim, who is a plural word.
Mm-hmm.
So God, and did not God say, have I not told you, ye are gods?
Yes.
We are, the reality, if reality were to break forth, mm-hmm. we are part of the Elohim. I'm not saying that we are, you know, a part of God, capital G. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he took some of this earth and then he breathed into it the spirit. And that's, this is where I get the concept that the spiritual part of us is God. He breathed into us his spirit, and that's why they who are of God, there is one spirit. We are all one at our basis, at our core. Okay, so we've been dropped down onto this physical earth. Not we didn't get to say, woohoo, we're going on vacation. You know, somehow we were lowered into this dimension of earthiness, okay? Doesn't sound real good because the first man, in 47 it says the first man is of the earth, earthy. And the second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, he dropped us down into this. And remember we said the last week, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And then down here where it says, you know, I show you...
mystery.
Let me see if I can find it.
What are you looking for? What are you looking?
The earthly.
Are you looking back in Corinthians? Is that what you're looking at?
I'm in right here where we were reading. Oh, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Okay? So this, as they said back earlier in Corinthians, we were born in corruption, you know, and we die, this earthly body. But I felt like God was showing me something, and I know this sounds silly, but how can I explain to myself, say for instance, if God went to Mars, and he wanted to drop a little hunk of God on Mars, and it would be an earthly man, and in our soul, we would have our intellect and our will and our emotions. But how could we live there and walk and move and have our being in there? And I'm almost embarrassed to say this. How about a spacesuit? You see, when men go to the moon and everything, they wear these spacesuits, you know? That's not the man. And that's why it says that we cannot, that the body, the corruptible, cannot inherit incorruption. It's not something we can inherit. It is, this body is not part of who we are, truly. It's the house we live in. We are a spirit. And that's why we sometimes mumble and fumble around on this earth, because we are in this earth, but we're not of this earth. We sometimes have a hard time trying to convince ourselves, you know, that, gosh, if I, you know, I got to look all good, I got to strut around looking good. You know, this is just the corrugated box we're in. We are so much more of that. Adam is the earth man. We are the earthy earth man. Oh, but the second man, the second Adam, is the king of the universe. You know, he's in us. I just kind of had that in my heart this morning that it, why is it so hard for us here? It's because this is not our home.
Go ahead.
I think I see you still wanting to say something.
Oh.
Come on.
Well, I really hate to bring outside life into the Bible conversation, because the Bible always is a spiritual book, one teaches us spiritual things. But as we are the age of communication, mm-hmm. I heard this person kind of like talking stuff about America having a president called Trump. He was trying to connect it with this verse that says the last Trump. He was like, does this ring something? It's like like looking at the morals, like the broken morals of the country and the whole world right now, everything that is going on, mm-hmm. and having a president by the name of Trump, that's it was kind of like so interesting conversation, but yeah, so.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that probably think that,
right.
Because some of his followers literally almost worship Donald Trump.
That's
and,
yeah.
You know, I will say this, a couple years ago, I used to have a thing where I recorded it, mm-hmm. when they were having one of the Republican meetings in a certain, it was like the convention that they have every year or whatever. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, it was, I can't remember what they even called it. But they had this convention every year, and they had a statue of Donald Trump in gold.
I heard that.
Mm-hmm. In gold. Yeah. Now, what, you might as well put a golden calf in there if you're doing that. You might as well put a golden calf in there. No political leader is the answer for Christian people. And, you know, if you really understand Scripture, you will understand that, and I've said this out in the church a few times, and I think I've probably made a lot of people mad, and that's probably why some of the people don't come to church anymore that used to come. You're not a Republican.
Yes.
You're not a Democrat.
Exactly.
You're a Christian.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And if your hope is in the Republicans, you're gonna get mighty disappointed.
Yes.
If it's in the Democrats, you're gonna get mighty disappointed. Exactly. You better hope thou, like Scripture says, hope thou in who?
No.
In God.
In God. Yeah.
And you better hope in God, and not put your hope in a man, because if you do, that man is going to fail you miserably.
Right.
And it's one of those things that where I honestly believe that a lot of people got mesmerized over Donald Trump. And, you know, he was on television, he was in, you know, they watched that show every week and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like he was a pop star, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I got news for you. I mean, I love music. And I mean, when I was growing up, I loved music. I like, you know, the rhythm and blues and rock and roll and all that stuff. I like that music because I grew up in that. But I never set any of those guys on no pedestal. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are just singers. They're no better than me. Their political views don't mean a thing to me. Mm-hmm. You know, all I want to do is hear them sing. That's what they do, you know. And to be perfectly honest with you, if people are putting their hope in Donald Trump, they're going to get miserably disappointed. If they're putting their hope in Joe Biden, they're going to be miserably disappointed.
Yes.
Now, I will say this. Scripture says, and this is Scripture here, that we are to submit to whatever authority God puts over us. He sets up and he takes down.
Yes.
So, when Donald Trump lost the election and Joe Biden got in there, he was supposed to get in there, or he wouldn't have got in there. I mean, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, God's in control.
Exactly.
And I believe in the sovereignty of God. That was one of the first few principles he started teaching me when I first got saved, that he was a sovereign God. And part of the meaning of that word, Lord, is sovereign controller. And if he's sovereign and he's a controller, guess what? He's in control. So I'm just saying, don't let yourself get sucked into the things of the world. We're in this world, but we're not of it. You know, if you want to vote, that's fine. Vote whoever you feel like you're supposed to vote for. Doesn't make any difference. And that's fine if it's one guy or another. Don't hate the other guy if he wins. You shouldn't hate anybody. You should pray for the other person and want them to do as good for this country as they can. But you know, I told you the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. Let me throw this one at you. Maybe God allowed the natural for Trump to be in there, that the real spiritual trumpet's about to blow. The spiritual thing, and it ain't him. I'll tell you that it's not him. And like I say, a lot of people, you know, when you're raised up a Republican or a Democrat in this country, a lot of times people, that boy, they're just that party, you know, and all that.
Exactly.
I mean, they're all just politicians. They're going to tell you anything they can tell you to make you think that they're the greatest thing there is.
Yeah.
And they're not. They're just normal men.
Just look at it when you know Trump lost the election,
uh-huh.
and he just put an idea out in space. When it was saying, you know, we got robbed and all that.
Well,
and then he put a little thing out to say, well, we ought to go do this or that, and the people follow his word, went down to the Capitol building, right?
Uh-huh.
Where was Trump at? you weren't a leader then.
Well, let me tell you this, and like I say, I don't like to talk political that much.
That's right.
But again, I don't try to talk political.
Yeah.
And I don't tell people how they should vote or anything else, because I don't do that. You know, if people say, "How do you vote?" I say, "It's none of your business." That's why it's a secret ballot. It ain't none of their business. You know, but I vote for whoever I feel like I should vote for at that particular time. And it can be Democrat, Republican, it can be independent, it can be whoever. You know, I don't claim to a certain thing. But I'll tell you this. The first election, when Trump got elected, before he ever ran, because I happened to be retired then, and I didn't know that much about Hillary Clinton and know that much about Donald Trump, I watched every one of their debates and every one of their things that were on television. I watched them all because I thought, now, I don't know that much about these people. I want to hear what they had to say.
Right.
Donald Trump was saying that the election was fixed back then. He was saying the same thing in 2016 that he said in 2020. Oh. Exact same thing.
Okay.
Exact same thing. It's crooked. It's not. It's crooked. It's crooked. Well, if it was crooked, why'd you win?
I know.
He won the first time. Yeah. You know, and you know, it's one of those things where all of those guys, if you put them guys on a pedestal, I'm telling you what, you're setting yourself up for a huge, huge disappointment.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they are not, there ain't none of them.
Yeah.
I would like to insert one thing.
Yeah.
Politically, you can be for anyone you want to be. This nation is in a mess. And there is going to come a great, great move of God, because I believe that the Bible even says we're in the third day. Mm-hmm. And on the third day, he rose. Mm-hmm. And Christ, there is a spiritual awakening happening to the people of the world, not just to the United States, mm-hmm. of the world. And God will use who he will use.
He will.
God will speak through a donkey.
He will.
And, you know, Jesus Christ is my Savior, is our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, I'm going to say this. In the United States of America, it is much more acceptable to all intellectual, intelligent people to be opposed to Donald Trump. People should not be hated if they are for him.
They shouldn't be.
There you go.
Shouldn't hate anybody.
I'm not going to say anything more.
No, yeah. You shouldn't. And the thing about it is that's the thing. See, if you line yourself up as being this thing and you're that thing, then you're walking in mistaken identity.
Christ is
you're walking
all
in mistaken
and
identity.
In all, period.
Your identity should be in Christ.
Well, you were crucified
with him and you were raised in him.
And your expectation.
And you were born again. He is the king. There ain't no other king, you know. I mean, you know.
I'm going to say this. Yeah. I believe there's already a move of the Lord going on. I just read a thing again this morning where they had 200 plus people baptized at a college in Alabama the other day.
That's wonderful.
And the anti-Christian groups are already going crazy over it. We're gonna make this university pay for that.
Christ is,
you know, and then what was it, a month or so ago, where they had the awakening out in California at the same place, they had 5,000 people baptized. That's just the ones you read about.
And
how many others are going on around the world in the same thing?
Yeah. Around the world.
It's happening.
Well,
it's happening the way God wants it to happen.
That's right.
You know, he don't care if it's Donald Trump or if it's Joe Biden, it's going to be me.
Christ is all.
It's going to be God.
He's going to let.
And it's going to be all God, and it's not going to be anything else but God. And for myself personally, my duty is to get out of the way and let him do it.
That's right.
And I didn't know how to say it any other way but that. Just get out of the way and let him do it.
What's if they say that God is a jealous God?
Yeah.
Okay, let's close because it's getting
Well, we'll have to come back in here and finish up the rest of it.
That's right. That's right. We cannot get, we haven't even started with, from say, 50 on or 48 on.
Yeah.
It was a good class today.
Well, like I say, if you ask questions, it's a good thing. And because, you know, whether you agree with the answer that you get or not, at least you get an answer, you know. You know, thing about it is, if you don't want to know, don't ask. I mean, that's what it amounts out to.
That's the truth.
You know.
Okie dokie. Let's close in prayer. Oscar, would you?
Sure. Father, we just thank you for your sweet, sweet spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you are the King. You are the controller. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. And we just ask you, Father, to begin to just move more and more in each one of our lives. We submit ourselves to you.
Yes.
Let us not get caught up in the things of this world.
Amen.
But we're in this world, but we're not of it. We were born again of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And we thank you, Father, that that even in this class here, we can discuss things. And we don't have to all agree with everything that's said, Father. You're the Spirit of truth. You lead and guide us into all truth.
Thank you.
And that's what we need. And we just give you the praise and the glory. And as we go out into the assembly out there, Father, I pray a special anointing on Brother Mike. He's going to share the word today. I pray that, Father, you would just pour yourself through him. And just cause him to say the things that people need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Amen.